Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapter 5, Demigods, Appeal to the Lord. Text number 45, I think, is on board. Is that here? 45? Sa Twam Na Darshyatmanam Asmat Karna Gocharam Prapananam Vidrikshunam Sasmitam Te Mukambujam Satvam Na Darshyatmanam Asmat Karna Gocharam Prapananam Dirikshunam Sasmitam te mukambujam
Sasmitam te mukambujam
Satamna darshi atmanam
Satamna darshi atmanam
Asmat karna gocharam
Asmat karna gocharam
Prapananam dirikshunam
Prapananam dirikshunam
Sasmitam te mukambujam
Sasmitam te mukambujam
O Supreme Personality of Godhead, we are surrendered unto you, yet we wish to see you. Please make your original form, smiling lotus face, visible to our eyes and appreciable to our other senses. Purport. The devotees are always eager to see the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his original form with his smiling lotus face. They're not interested in experiencing the impersonal form. The Lord has both impersonal and personal features. The personalists have no idea of the personal feature of the Lord, but Lord Brahma and the members of his disciple succession want to see the Lord in his personal form. Without a personal form, there can be no question of a smiling face, which is clearly indicated here by the words, Sasmitam te mukambujam. Those who are in the Vaishnava Sampradaya of Brahma always want to see the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They are eager to realize the Lord's personal feature, not the impersonal feature. As clearly stated here, Asmat Karna Gocharam, the personal feature of the Lord can be directly perceived by our senses. Satvam Na Darshi Atmanam Asmat Karna Gocharam Prapananam Dirikshunam Sasmitam Te Mukambujam. O Supreme Personality of Godhead, we are surrendered unto you, yet we wish to see you. Please make your original form and smiling lotus face visible to our eyes and appreciable to our other senses. Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthavata Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Saraswatam Deve Gauravani Pajarane Nirvishesha Srinivadi Paskatya De Satarane. Here the demigods want to see Krishna, and it says that is what everyone should want to desire, to see Krishna. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada said that we should not try to see Krishna, but we should work in such a way that Krishna will want to see us. Because if we try to see Krishna, that may be very difficult. But if Krishna wants to see us, then it's very simple. Just like if we want to see a very important person, such as the President of the United States, it may be very difficult to see him. But if he wants to see you, then it becomes very easy. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna has said, Janma Karma Kamedivyam Evam Yoveti Tatvataha Pyakva Deham Punarjanma Naiti Mam Eti Sarjana. To see Krishna means to understand Krishna. In fact, actually, everyone is seeing Krishna at every moment, but because we don't see Krishna with knowledge, therefore we don't think we're seeing Krishna. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna has said, Rasoham Asnu Kuntiya. When we're tasting water, we're actually experiencing Krishna. He's one of his energies, which is not different from him. When we see the light and the sun and the moon, this is Krishna's energies. So factually, we're only seeing Krishna and his energies, but we think we're seeing something else. That's called Maya. Therefore, Krishna recommends that one has to understand the tattva about himself. So tattva is composed of two words, Sanskrit words, tat and vam. Tattva, tattva, vam. Tat means that. You just add the H and it becomes that. Easy to remember. And tva means just like coldness, hotness, lightness, so thatness. So one has to understand, in other words, thatness, the thing that makes something distinct, recognizable. If you say that book, that means there must be some book there that you can see that's within your possibility of perception. If you say that dragon who just ran by, then you may look very hard to find a dragon. It may be very difficult to see it. So generally that is for something you can actually perceive. So thatness, or that something that's perceivable, that is appreciable, that is distinct, can be distinct, that's called tattva. So Krishna tattva, janma karma chame divyam evam yoveti tatvataha, in truth, Prabhupada translates it in truth, by reality, a perception. In other words, we can point it out, there it is, that's what it is. So one who can understand Krishna by directly perceiving, understanding, and perceiving what is his birth and activities, then he becomes eligible to go back to the spiritual world. Of course, we understand that to come to that platform, Bhaktya mam abhijananti yavan yas chasmi tattvataha. To understand Krishna in tattvataha, in truth, one has to perform devotional service to Krishna. So now the question is, how can we perform devotional service to someone we don't know? How devotional it can be. The demigods, they want to know Krishna, they want to see him as something tangible. And Krishna says, if you want to know me, just look around. And you can see me first through my different energies. Eka desha sitas yagya joshta distristi yata parasya brahmana shakti sitedam akalam jagat. That just like a fire is in one place and it diffuses its heat and light everywhere, so similarly, the Supreme Lord, although he may be in his abode, Goloka Vrindavan, by his different energies, he's present everywhere. We can't say that the fire is, or the sunlight is in my room, it has nothing to do with the sun. Can anyone say like that? The sunlight has entered into the room, but it has nothing to do with the sun, because it's captured with, it's in my room now. It's no longer the sun's light. It's my light because it's in my room. Close the window before it gets out. No, it's the sun's light. Similarly, Krishna has diffused his energies everywhere. It's his energies. And it's not different from him. We can't say it's the sunlight, but it has nothing to do with the sun. It's completely different from the sun. Now it's in my room, therefore it's my light, and it's divorced completely from the sun. It's taken on my qualities, not the sun's qualities. No, the sunlight is everywhere, and it's exactly the same as the sun, although it may be simultaneously different. But if we understand what the sunlight is like, we can get some idea about the sun also. So similarly, we're all persons. Even the impersonalists are also persons. Just like one goes to India, where practically everyone has become an impersonalist. The whole world has become impersonalist. But if you treat people, although they're all impersonalists, they say, yes, we believe in Krishna. I am Krishna, you are Krishna, we all believe in Krishna. And at the end, just like I met one lady, she said, yes, I love Krishna. I have a deity of Krishna. I worship Krishna every day. And one day, I'll become Krishna. Therefore, Krishna is so beautiful and nice, just like I'm so beautiful and nice. So this is called Maya, or impersonalism. But if you treat people impersonalists, in other words, they say it's all one, but if you treat them like they're just like everything else. One time I was in Bombay on going to a program, and the train was quite crowded. I sat down, but there was one seat. I sat down, and then someone came along and sat down on me. Just following their philosophy, because it's all one. The seat and myself are one. So, of course, I didn't have that philosophy. And probably if the roles were reversed, if I would have sat down on that particular man, he probably would have been quite disturbed also. Why are you treating me so impersonally? Because that's your philosophy. You're impersonal. You're just one. You in the chair and everything is just one. But people don't really, in practicality, they don't want to act like that. They want to be known as something distinct. But still people propound such a philosophy out of ignorance. Because there is, unless, of course we have so much philosophy about the difference between personalism and impersonalism, and we can even demonstrate in so many different ways. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Natvevaham jatunasam natvene me janadipa chaivana pradishama sarve vayamatapura. Krishna says, never there is a time when I did not exist, nor you, nor all these kings, nor in the future shall any of us cease to be. So the impersonalists, if they accept Bhagavad Gita, then they have to accept Krishna as an authority. Otherwise, what's the sense of accepting Bhagavad Gita? For instance, if Krishna is an illusion, he's in Maya, therefore he's saying that there was never a time when I did not exist. In other words, he's just talking because he's bewildered by Maya. Then if he's bewildered by Maya, then his book Bhagavad Gita is not very valuable. He's saying Bhagavad Gita, he's declaring that he's God. Not in one place, but in many places. He keeps on repeating the same thing. Maybe he's deluded and suffering from high fever and he keeps on raving about being God. Just like everyone else is trying to become God. So he's claiming he's God too. But that he does say in Bhagavad Gita he's God. No one can deny that. Matak parataram kinchit nanyat kinchit asti dananjaya mayi sarvamidam proktam sutraimani gana iva. Krishna says that I am, O conqueror of wealth, Arjuna, that all things are resting on me, or there's no truth superior to me, everything's resting on me, just like pearls are strung in a thread. See, he's claiming that if you take him away from the material world, everything will fall apart. Now, most of us think like that, too. If I disappear, everything will fall apart. Prabhupada gives the example of Nehru. He was dying. He had only a couple of weeks left to live, but he wouldn't give up his position of being the premier of India because he thought, if I leave, everything will fall apart. Well, he fell apart, but still India is still there. Although it's gradually falling apart, with or without him. With or without him, it's still. But people think like that. You know, a doctor probably said, give me 3 more years so I can finish my plants and everything will be more solid. But Krishna says, if I leave, everything will fall apart. And he says, aham sarvasya prava matak sarvam pravartate. That I'm the source of everything, the whole creation is coming from it. Everything you see is coming from Krishna. The wise who know this perfectly, they develop bhava, or love from it. So we may be thinking like that too, to some smaller degree, that I'm the source of everything. I bought everything in this house by my hard work. I've worked so hard that all the, you know, and I purchase all these things. I've decorated the house. I mow the lawn. Everything's coming from me. My family who knows this, they love me and they worship me with all their heart. This is product. So what is the difference between Krishna? If Krishna is an illusion, just like everyone else's illusion, maybe a bigger illusion than the rest. For instance, Prabhupada always points out the Sankaracharya's verse, Narayana Puro Vyakta. That Sankaracharya, he also says that Narayan is above the material nature, the source of material nature, which he does say in his commentaries. Sankaracharya says, Narayana Puro Vyakta. But if we examine Sankaracharya's philosophy a little further, we'll find out he says, yes, it's the truth. Vishnu, Narayan, he's the source of the material world. That sounds quite personal. Sounds in line with our philosophy. The only problem is, he goes on to further elaborate that actually, Narayan is an illusion. That in other words, from Brahman, springs forth the illusory Narayan, who brings forth an illusory creation. So it's the fact that Narayan is the source of this creation, but the creation is an illusion, and Narayan is an illusion also. The only reality is Brahman. So they say Narayan is illusion. Narayan is speaking here, an illusion. But if he's an illusion, if he's actually not real, that he didn't exist in the past, he didn't exist in the present, and he won't exist in the future, then the Bhagavad Gita is false. It's wrong. It's not Sat. It's Asat. And if it's Asat, then why are all these people writing commentaries on it, trying to explain their philosophy through Bhagavad Gita? If the whole thing's an illusion, then why write a commentary on illusory philosophy? 700 different versions of Bhagavad Gita, over 700 when Prabhupada was present. Now there are many more. There are not 700 commentaries on Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. All of us will agree that Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs is not a highly philosophical work based on reality. Most of us will agree. We don't want to disturb anyone here. But there are so many commentaries, even the impersonalist, the personalist, the Mayavadis, the yogi, everyone's commentary, making a comment on Bhagavad Gita. But if it's an illusion, then their commentaries are a waste of time. And if their commentaries are a waste of time, those who read their commentaries are also wasting their time. In other words, anyone who studies Bhagavad Gita with the idea that Krishna is an illusion, they're also a fool. They think Krishna is a fool, then they must be a fool. Otherwise, why are they studying a book written by a fool or spoken by a fool, by someone in illusion? The only valid way of analyzing Bhagavad Gita is to at least accept theoretically that Krishna is actually speaking the truth. And in Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna, he wants to see Krishna's form. When Krishna displayed his universal form, then Arjuna said, Mate vyatama chavimudo bhavo drishva rupam goram idam midridam yapetabhi pritam anakpunas tvam tadeva me darshya deva rupam. My mind has been perturbed by seeing this horrible feature of yours. Now, I wish to see that form with two hands. Please show it to me. And then Shilanjaya says, Sanjaya Vacha Ityarjavam Ityarjavedam Vasudeva Satogtva Sukham Rupam Darsham Asabhuya Ashvasyam Asachubitam Enam Bhutva Punaksamya Vapura Mahatma. The Bhagavan who accepts Sanjaya, that he actually is telling the truth, then according to him, that when Arjuna requested this to Arjuna, to Vasudev, to Krishna, then Krishna, he first of all, it says that Swakam Rupam, his own form, Darshim Asabhuya, he showed to the fearful Arjuna. He first of all showed Arjuna his four-armed form, and then he showed him his two-armed form, that Krishna has many forms. Arjuna requested to see the form, and Krishna showed it to him. Not that Arjuna requested to see the form, and Krishna says, wait a second, just hold on. Close your eyes. I'll be back in a minute. Hold the reins of the chariot. Here's four arms, and now you want to see two arms? Just hold on, close your eyes again. And what kind of form? Soumya Vapura, a very beautiful form. And then Arjuna said, Drishvedam Manusha Rupam Tavasamya Jadarjuna Idamam Asmi Samritak Sacheta Prakritim Gataha. When Krishna showed his form to Arjuna, then Arjuna became very pleased seeing such a beautiful form. Drishvedam Manusham Rupam, which appears to be just like a human being, Manusha Rupam Tavasamya Jadarjuna Idamam Asmi Samritak Sacheta Prakritim Gataha. So seeing this form, I become pleased in mind, Arjuna said. Therefore, Krishna's form, according to Arjuna, according to Sanjaya, according to Krishna, is not an ordinary form, it's the most beautiful form. And Krishna has all these forms. If we're going to accept Bhagavad Gita, then we're going to have to accept that it's possible to actually see his form. Arjuna saw it, and Sanjaya saw it, the people on the battlefield, Kurukshetra, saw it. So does that mean that we can't see it? That Krishna, he died, you know, shortly after the battlefield, Kurukshetra, and therefore one can't see the form anymore? It's gone? Well, that's not Krishna's philosophy. That's not Arjuna's philosophy. Nor was it Sanjaya's philosophy. He said, depending which form you're talking about, but he said, Rajan Samsmritya Samsmritya Idam Idam, let's see, what's the next word? Rajan Samsmritya Samsmritya Imam Sambadam Adbhutam Keshvarjana Punyam Risham Icha Mahur Mahu. That my dear Krishna, my dear Dhritarashtra, Rajan Samsmritya Samsmritya, remembering again and again this conversation, Imam Sambadam Adbhutam, this conversation, this wonderful conversation, Adbhutam, Sambadam is conversation, between Krishna and Arjuna, Keshvarjuna Punyam, Rishami Chamahumahu, I'm becoming more and more happy, Rishami. I'm becoming more and more rejoicing. And then he says, Tatscha Samsmritya Samsmritya Rupam Adya Bhutam Hare Vishmayo Me Maharajan Rishami Cha Punak Punak. Remembering as well that wonderful form that Krishna showed to Arjuna on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, I'm becoming ever more struck with wonder and I rejoice again and again. So Sanjaya saw the form. And in Chaitanya Charitamrita, we'll find out that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he sometimes would show his different forms to his different devotees. Just like Kasi Misra, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to Jagannath Puri, then King Prataparudra arranged it that he would get Kasi Misra's house because it was a very nice house. So when Kasi Misra heard about that, he said, wait a second, you're not moving me out of here. This is my house. No one lives in my house without paying rent. No, that's not what he said. No, he's very happy that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is moving into his house. And he didn't charge him any rent at all. He said, everything, my body, my mind, everything, the house, everything here is for you. And he meant it. He actually meant it. And so Chaitanya Mahaprabhu revealed his forearm form to Kasi Misra. When Ramananda Roy said that, my dear Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, I see that you appear to be a coward boy sometimes, and sometimes you appear to be a sannyasi with a golden form. So which is it? Are you a coward boy or a sannyasi with a golden form? So then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu revealed his form as Radha and Krishna, that he's Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Radha Krishna Nahiyani. And Ramananda Roy was in ecstasy. Not that, I saw that form. I've been with you since eternity. You know, same old form. Radha and Krishna. Can you do another trick? Do something new. No, he was completely in ecstasy and he practically fell unconscious. So it's not the same old form. Even Srimati Radharani, she's always thinking that maybe I saw Krishna for a few moments, but hardly ever saw Krishna. So even Radharani's thinking like that. Even the gopis thinking like that. And they're always anxious to see Krishna, and when they see Krishna, it's not, oh, there's that old cowherd boy again. Same old peacock feather, and same old tune. You know? No, it's an ever new experience. Nitya nava 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 yavana. It's always fresh and new, and it's almost like the first time that they see Krishna, that they have association with Krishna. It's always ever fresh. Otherwise, the spiritual world would become just like the material world, where after a few moments of trying to enjoy something, then it's, you know, it's the same old thing. Even the Beatles. How many people play the records of the Beatles? Maybe a few. Are you raising your hand? But even they, you know, not as popular as they used to be. Anyone in this material world, after a while becomes Hackney, Brahms, Beethoven, and the next creation, who will know, who will recognize, you know, who will remember their tunes? But Krishna is ever fresh. The devotional service of Krishna is ever fresh. And therefore, when one sees Krishna, that's the beginning of actual life. Now we're thinking, oh, how is it possible to see Krishna? It's so far away. Maybe there isn't a Krishna. Maybe it's just some speculation, some poetic imagination. Who knows? But actually, that person who's controlling the sun, the moon, who's put the taste in the water, who's giving us intelligence, that Krishna we can actually see if we perform devotional service to him. And by performing devotional service, then first one can see Krishna within the creation, and then one can remember Krishna constantly within one's heart. Just like the six Goswamis, although apparently they didn't see Krishna, they were always chanting, Hey Rad, Hey Braja Devi Ke Chalali De, Hey Nanda Shuno Kutaha, Shri Govardhan Pata Tata Pata Patale, Kalindi Vane Kutaha, Go Shantaviti Sarvato, Madhura Vale, what's that?
Brajapure.
Keder Mahavivalo, Vande Rupa Sanatana Raghu Yago, Shri Jiva Gopalago. Apparently they were running everywhere, shouting, Oh Srimati Radharani, Oh Krishna, where are you? Are you by the bank of the Jamuna? Are you on Govardhan Hill? But in this separation, they were actually always remembering Krishna. They're intimately associated with Krishna. Although they were thinking they were separated, but actually they were very much intensely associating with Krishna. This is called Vipralambar Seva, that one can associate with Krishna just by thinking about him. Although apparently their separation But actually, that's very intimate association. That's the most intimate association. Even sometimes when Srimati Radharani is with Krishna, then sometimes she thinks she's separated from him, although they're very intimately associated. One time, Madhav Mangal and Radha and Krishna were in one kunj, and one bumblebee came. Big Brahmara. Brahmara means a huge bumblebee. And it came buzzing around, and it started to disturb Srimati Radharani. So Madhav Mangal came with his cloth and started to try to get the bumblebee away. And he started to shout out when the bumblebee went away, "Madhu is gone. Madhu is gone." So Madhu is a name for Krishna. Madhu is also a name for bee. So when Radharani heard that Madhu is gone, she thought that Krishna was gone. Madhusudana was gone. And therefore she felt great separation. And tears came from her eyes due to separation. Although Krishna was right next to her, she was feeling intense separation from Krishna. And when Krishna saw her intense separation, he also felt intense separation, and tears came from his eyes, and they formed the lake known as Prema Sarovara. And if you go there, you can. There are many bees there. You'll also remember Krishna. So, we're also trying to come to that platform of Vipralamba Seva, serving Krishna, chanting Krishna's name, and by coming to the platform, remembering Krishna, although we may think that this is not Krishna or we're separated from Krishna, but actually this is very intimate association with Krishna. This is the same association that the gopis enjoyed throughout the day when Krishna was not present. They'd associate with Krishna through the process of Vipralamba Seva. And this is the purpose of our society, is to see Krishna by constantly feeling separation from him, seeing him in the words of the Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, the descriptions of the devotees, and then gradually Krishna will reveal himself through that process, that one will be able to experience Krishna more and more through that process of devotional service and remembering Krishna called Vipralamba Seva. So, stop here. Thank you. Any questions? Yes.
Can you speak a little bit more about how, like, all devotional service begins from attentive hearing of the holy name? I know you've spoken about it a lot, but can you kind of, like,
because when attentive hearing, sometimes we think of attentive hearing as someone sitting there just trying to hear but can't do it, and just trying to put their brain and do it, and their brain's getting, you know, you smoke is coming out. It's about to catch fire, but they're trying. Nothing's coming through, but they're trying. Attentive hearing also has also implies a quality of inattention to other types of hearing, to other thoughts and hearing, but we won't be able to hear it really attentively unless we chant nicely. That we're not simply trying to hear ourselves chanting, you know, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. I heard that so attentively. Well, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Ram, 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 Hey Krishna, 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 Hare Ram, Hey Ram, 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 Hey Krishna, 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 Hare Ram, Ram, Ram. I really heard that attentively, really. No, we'll be able to hear attentively if it's actually somewhat attractive. We're actually chanting to Krishna, that he's a person. We're not chanting to some impersonal object, some letters of the alphabet, some unknown, you know, entity out there coming out of the black hole, some black person coming out of the black hole. No, we have to chant. We chant to Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. And then we remember we're supposed to be chanting to Krishna in a loving way. Then we'll become interested in hearing it because it'll sound nice. So we won't be able to chant attentively unless we hear attentively, unless we chant nicely, lovingly. Prabhupada gave the example, just like a child crying out for his mother. So that's loving, feeling separation from the mother in a loving way, depending way. So we chant like that, and we'll hear nicely, attentively. And if we try and do it without chanting nicely, it'll be impossible, or very difficult. I mean, one can remember Krishna just by mental effort, and just put the chanting in the background. But it's just much easier to remember Krishna spontaneously if we chant to him nicely. Then he'll automatically reveal himself to us, because that's what we're asking for. Krishna does, he reciprocates with us practically whatever we want. And if we want to engage in his loving service, we can't do that without becoming conscious of him. So then he makes us conscious of him. And then by the more we become conscious in a dynamic way, seeing him, smelling, or seeing him means all his associates, his pastimes, his paraphernalia, smelling, tasting, hearing, they become all revealed to our transcendental senses, and that's called Krishna consciousness. Then we'll want more and more to have more and more of that experience, and we'll chant more and more sincerely, with more and more conviction and attention. That will come naturally.
Thank you.
Yes.
Maharaj, I meet members of other religious traditions, and particularly Christianity and Islam, and it appears that they're impersonalists because practically 99% of them, they just can't understand that God has a form. Like they think it's like the spirit. And so could we say that they're Mayavadis?
Well, there's a difference between a Mayavadi and impersonalist. A Mayavadi thinks everything is illusion, except for Brahman. So they may not think that everything, they may be impersonalists, but that doesn't mean they're Mayavadis. They may think that the absolute truth is something impersonal, but they don't probably deny that everything else is real. I don't know. Some of them, you know, it depends. The ones who roll on the ground. The holy rollers, they may be. They might be sahajis. Sahaji means to take something cheap. Instead of following the authorized process, they follow some concocted process and imagine that they become very elevated by that process. So I don't think that all the Christians are like that, or all the Muslims are like that. But some of them may be like that.
There's a Sahaja type tradition in all religious cultures. Like in Islam, there's a Sufi, branch of Sufism, the Darvish. They whirl around and they chant and they get brought up into into a trance. It's like the Sahaja branch of Islam. You know, there's this, you know, the born again Christians, and they go into trance and they fall on the floor.
Start talking in tongues.
That's like the Sahaja.
Yeah. Ancient Christianity. Even in Judaism, there's also a sort of tradition. And of course, in India, there's the Sahaja. It's there, but it seems to be the only Jewish tradition. But we have the best Sahajis in our tradition. The most sophisticated. None of the other religions dress up like gopis. Although, people in general, they've gone even steps further than that. Yes.
A few weeks ago, I met one of the holy rollers, Pentecostal.
Did you?
So I quoted a verse from Brahma Samhita, and she thought I was talking in tongues.
She gave you a donation?
No, I told her a verse from Bhagavad Gita. Anyway.
Well, that's good. Say, I can speak in tongues. Govinda, I. And they ask you if you've been born again, you go, sure, that's why I'm here. If I wasn't born again, I wouldn't be here. I'm sure you're going to be born again. Yes.
I was just wondering, because I find a lot of jumping, so I find I have to actually take the bees out of the bag, but you're not supposed to chant the bees out of the bag, then sometimes you don't chant.
Make sure the bees don't jump out of the bag. So what to do?
I find
you need bigger beads.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you skip beads, it usually means that you're not attentive enough to even to figure out which beads you're chanting on. So either you get bigger beads or you just have to become more attentive.
Mm-hmm.
Usually it's because we're trying to get our rounds done too quick. We have no faith that there's going to be any other experience other than getting my rounds done. The highest ecstasy I'm going to experience is that my rounds will be done. All the anxiety of chanting my rounds will diminish the more quicker I get them done. So the more quicker I chant, the more bliss I'm feeling. So we don't think that actually I can actually think about Krishna. There's such a thing as actually remembering Krishna. Or even if I can remember Krishna, so what? So that experience we have to get, and then it becomes meaningful. Just like they had some kind of exciting movie. I didn't see the movie, but they had, I saw some advertisement, something. Harry Potter, is that the name of it?
Mm-hmm.
So we were showing Harry Potter. Is that Harry Potter? Oh, Harry Potter. Something spiritual. Then everyone would want to come and see it because it might be interesting. They spend so much money, you know, putting it together. You know, why not? So if we can actually thought, we could actually see there was a television inside our heart and we can actually see Krishna's pastimes, wouldn't we want to spend the time looking at Krishna's pastimes for a few minutes at least? But the chanting can actually bring us that ability to actually see Krishna within the heart. At first, we may not see Krishna, you know, in his transcendental lila completely, but we may remember Krishna as the form, his quality, something, remember some of the details and some of his associates. So that's possible. So we try and spend the time thinking like that, chanting so nicely that automatically remember something about Krishna. Then it becomes interesting. Otherwise, if we don't remember Krishna, we just chant, it just becomes boring. We just want to get around then as quickly as possible. Because it has no real, you know, it's not interesting at all. It's just the same old K-R-I-S-H-N-A. R-A-M-A. R-A. But if it had, you know, we see Krishna with a peacock feather, a flute, you know, the cows, Jamuna, then it starts getting interesting. Anything else?
Yeah.
Okay.